podcast that brings you one guest, one question, one answer. Business insights in minutes, not hours, with your host, the small business and franchise expert, Gary Occhiogrosso.
Hello again, and welcome to another edition of Mastermind Minutes. My name is Gary Occhiogrosso. I am the managing partner and founder for Franchise Growth Solutions. You can click on the link below the text in this podcast to learn what we do. For those of you who are listening to Mastermind Minutes for the first time, it's a very simple concept. It's one question, one guest, one answer. We realize that in a few minutes, we may not completely cover the topic. So at the end of the program, we will give you the contact information for our guest, and you can feel free to contact them or contact their organization to learn more about them. Today, my guest is Adam Chandler, and he is the COO and co-founder of Ularity, which is a digital marketing company that is pioneering the future of marketing automation. Now, for decades, Adam has been an active entrepreneur in SaaS technology and held positions at Yahoo, the Rubicon Project, and many more. He has an impressive experience and is an advisory board member of leading tech companies. Adam sometimes hosts Ularity's own podcast, which he'll tell us about in a minute. It's called The Darwinian Times, Survival of the Nimblest, to talk with industry leaders about innovation strategies and disruption to traditional thinking. So, Adam, first of all, thank you very much for being with us today.
Nice to be here, Gary.
Tell us, before we get into the question, tell us a little bit more about yourself and about Ularity and what it does.
Yeah, sure. So nice to be here. Happy Monday.
Happy Monday to you too.
Happy Monday. So I spent the last 20 years sort of in the birth of the commercial internet, going back to the days of Yahoo for about a decade, and then moved on to private and public companies, mostly tech companies, reaching consumers in advertising or subscription models. Had the opportunity 4 years ago to be a founder with two other like-minded individuals on the engineering and product side to take what we learned from our respective companies. My two other co-founders were engineers and product folks at Google and Facebook. And what we realized that there was no one had really thought about the small business or medium-sized business marketplace as it relates to connecting all of the marketing solutions in one place through technology. We worked with large companies like Procter & Gamble and Unilever, et cetera, who had hundreds or billion-dollar budgets in advertising, and they could hire tech firms to enable their marketing to be more efficient and data-driven. But when it came to the small business or the medium-sized business owner, they kind of had really two options. They could go hire someone down the street to help them with their marketing. They could hire an agency, or they could do it themselves through many different platforms. And what we realize is that, you know, if you think about marketing and technology, it's gotten more complex than simple. So what we did is we wanted to connect everything into one place and make marketing approachable through technology and software. So Ularity, the name Ularity, comes from a Swiss mathematician named Leonard Euler. Euler was one of the most interesting men. He actually created a scientific equation that made math simple. And it was pioneering at the time. So that was sort of the inspiration for our name. We wanted to make marketing simple. So what we did is we connected into Facebook and Google and Snapchat and LinkedIn and YouTube and every platform you can think of. And we bundled it up in an app and a desktop command center that customers can come in, put in their credit card, decide what budget they want to spend, and not have to worry about how much they put with one channel or the other. It runs them all at the same time with all different types of creative variations. And whatever's working based on their goals, it shifts the budget using AI. So it's a very sort of pragmatic solution. You don't have to be a techie to use it. You just download it and use it, put in your subscription and go. And we start the business selling to franchisors directly. Because what we saw kind of after the pandemic and even before that is they wanted simplification. They wanted more of simplicity across their marketing experience and not have to deal with 10 or 15 different companies. Mm-hmm. So we found a really good home in franchising and learned a lot through the years.
Well, that's great. So that's interesting. Let me ask you a question, but it's not our question for the program. But since you brought it up about the franchisors, are franchisors focused on using your technology for consumer purposes for their franchisees to drive guests into the stores, or are they using the technology for lead generation to solicit and recruit new franchisees into their business?
They've done both. Primarily, they do much more on the consumer marketing side or the B2B marketing side, broader audiences, and very supported locally. They go more towards consumer marketing with our platform because the technology allows franchisees the ability to have all their marketing in one place on their phone. So they basically open up the app, the franchisor programs it. And for local marketing, it's really strong. It does national as well, but it's got a unique bent for the franchisee because they can do everything in one place and the franchisor can, have the control.
I love that. After the program, we'll talk more about that for sure. Cause some of my clients certainly can use it, but let's get to the question today. So, we'll start with a very broad brush. And to be perfectly honest with you, over the last year, we've had far too many programs that focused on the pandemic. And I just got tired of hearing it. And, phrases like the new norm, I would just basically cut people off and say, just stop with the whole new norm and, that whole thing. And I, not to be rude or too New Yorker, but, I was like, let's just get on with it. And now.
Let's get on with the brass tacks, Gary.
Yeah.
Let's cut through it.
Let's just cut through it. And so for me, I look at both sides of the coin. Yeah, the pandemic was terrible, horrible, horrible thing. But what's on the other side of that coin? For me in the restaurant business, the other side of the coin is that there's tons of second generation restaurant space. There's cheap money. There's flexible landlords. There's a lot of upside. So from a technology point of view, I also realized, and this is really what I want to ask you about is, I realized that some of the technology that people are using every day already existed, but it wasn't really being used. We were kind of like propelled 5 years ahead in the future because we were forced to. So I guess what I really want to know more about is, since we had to make this pivot, maybe sooner than people wanted to or thought, how have you seen this affect, and this is going to be broad, society in general or business in general?
Yeah, so a couple things. Let's start with the technology impact. So yes, before the pandemic, many people were doing Zoom and video conferencing. I think we've been doing it for 15 years, but it pandemic allowed people to prioritize it, understand it, et cetera. If you think about technology, and I hear this a lot in the SaaS industry, it accelerated on the technology side, people's roadmaps by 5 years. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Right. So in 2021, they were planning to launch releases and features in 2026, 27. But all of a sudden, the demand for digital services, technology enabled because people were at home and they could do more at home and they had less resources, skyrocketed. So from the product development perspective, roadmaps got shrunk and they were accelerating their features 5 years ahead of time on the technology side. On the customer side, in our case, small businesses, medium-sized businesses, who even do business with large enterprises, they had a look at their current marketing organization and say, are we set up for success to be able to deliver on-demand messaging in real time when we are closing and opening and closing and changing our signs and changing our customer offering and going digital and offering e-commerce online? Like all these technology companies, if you think about Shopify, for example, they were explosive and they provided e-commerce for small businesses because it was do or die. You had to basically be able to sell online to stay relevant in certain in certain cases when you were closed. So what I saw from the customer perspective is that I think some industries, franchising is one of them. There's other industries that may be slower to adapt new technology, where it's much more traditional. And we saw the demand for digital products and technology go much higher because they had more time to evaluate it. Some of their marketing resources, unfortunately, got cut. Resources went down. So they all of a sudden were in a place where they said, look, we have to do more with less. We have less marketing budgets, less people. We need technology to help us empower that. We saw that on the marketing side. I know that in third-party delivery, if you think about, you know, the companies like DoorDash, et cetera, they went through the roof, went public, and their demand surged because people wanted to get delivery. And the restaurants themselves, right, had a certain capacity on what they were able to deliver with their own drivers. So, you know, that's third-party delivery, not to mention POS, point of sale. All these types of companies started to surge with even more relevance and get some of the people that were early adopters, add in some of the late adopters. So we saw a surge both on the technology side with technology companies' roadmaps moving ahead, as well as on the restaurant or, you know, the franchisor side, moving their attention ahead to new technology to help them do more with less.
Yeah. And I have seen that in the restaurant business and in the franchise business, where companies, not so much on the franchise side, but mom and pops. And we do a lot of, in addition to franchising and development and sales, we do a lot of work in the restaurant industry with independent operators, basically teaching them kind of the inside secrets of how franchisors are able to do things more efficiently and at a lower cost. But a lot of the mom and pop operators were not using technology such as, you know, DoorDash or having an app or even doing online ordering. And, you know, now kind of that old school thinking of, hey, I don't need that. My customers call me on the phone. That's out the window. I mean, these people are now exposed to it. By the same token, on the consumer side, and I'll eliminate myself from the equation other than to use my age group, I'm 64. So people in their late 50s, 60s, maybe we weren't ordering Chipotle on the app. Okay. And we weren't going online to order and look at menus, but now we are. And again, the pandemic kind of forced us into doing that. And now I don't see us not doing that. That kind of leads me to this next question here, because I think it relates not only to the restaurant business, but to the whole technology surge, as you called it. In the restaurant business, we saw this tremendous explosion of ghost kitchens, which people in the business who know me in franchising and restaurants know that I'm of the belief that there'll always be a place for ghost kitchens. But this explosive growth of ghost kitchens, it will settle down. Much of it will go away. I view it like, you know, frozen yogurt shops in the early 2000s. Everybody's got one and then no one has one. Why do I say that? Because the need won't be there. The need will be there to some extent, and it'll be survival of the nimblest or the fittest, you know, to your point, but it won't be there the way it is now. So why am I telling you that story? So I could tell you this story or ask you this question. How would you take that same concept and relate it to this surge in technology? Is it going to continue? Will it kind of rescind on itself as the economy and as the world opens back up?
Well, it's a great question, Gary. And I think the way to think about that correlation is between consumer habits and business habits. So think about it. And the reason why SaaS and technology kind of intersect, kind of dovetails with this question. So as a consumer, right? I don't know how you watch television today, but, you know, watching live TV is sometimes a much more of a rare occurrence, depending on your demographic, depending on where you are. When they introduced Apple TV, I don't think I've watched live TV except for sports or whatever it might be, but it's 5% of my time. Mm-hmm. And consumers have moved to everything on demand, whether it's Netflix, whether it's delivery, whether it's streaming, whether it's online podcast, like everything is on demand for the consumer. So you spend a lot of time as a consumer in control of what you want, whenever you want, from music to entertainment to your news to podcasts to everything, right? To
a cup of coffee in Starbucks. I want it this way, and I'm putting it in on the app, and I don't want to talk to anybody. I'm going to go in, look for my name, pick it up, and I'm out.
Yeah, so there's pros and cons of that. But, you know, so that's your consumer world, right? So now you're in marketing. You're a CMO. You mean to tell me to do marketing today, you have to do digital marketing, you have to then wait a month to figure out what your results are. You have to look at spreadsheets and kind of analyze what your marketing performances are. You've got to then figure out how to get creative out to 1,000 of your franchisees without technology, kind of through spreadsheets or Dropbox files. Then you got to see what happens and then try to do that across Facebook and Google search and YouTube and LinkedIn and Fox News and ESPN and CNN. And everything else in your consumer life works like this through an app very quickly. And you have to go through this laborious marketing process. So that's just sort of one kind of micro sector in what we do. But if you take that analogy and say the consumer behavior has to meet the business behavior. So technology, things like Zoom, like we're on right now, or other video chats, is as quick to start as your analogy in ordering Chipotle on your phone or ordering Starbucks. So business applications that were created 20 years ago from Oracle and IBM and other companies, right? There's a new world of technology companies that have a lot of it in common. They have cloud. They're all hosted in the cloud, which means super fast, very easy to load. Don't have to store it on your own server. Mobile app. They have a mobile app, not a mobile web. You can download it and go to work. It's subscription-based, right? So you pay as you go. You decide what you want to spend. We're subscription-based, but basically you decide how much you want to go, like Netflix. And it's all tap-to-touch communication on your phone, and it's mobile. So if you think about that on the business perspective, that intertwines with your consumer behavior. So you can say, look, I'm a consumer. I expect my business life to have the same pragmatic capabilities and the same sophistication level as what I do in my consumer behavior. So I think technology, the genie is out of the bottle. It's not going to get put back in. Certain sectors will expand more. I think software is eating the world. And I do think certain companies that haven't that aren't cloud-based and haven't taken advantage of today's sort of modern marketing or modern technology infrastructure, so to speak, will either get left behind or they'll have to acquire or partner to get there. So the long way of saying, I think the technology revolution has been accelerated by the pandemic. And I don't think it's ever going back. I think there's certain segments that have just catapulted too far ahead. And certain segments are ripe for disruption.
Yeah, I agree. And one of the things you said there, and it's just fascinating to me, again, I'm of the age when, a computer, the first place that I ever worked in, like legitimate place, I'm not talking about, like being a newspaper boy or anything like that. We actually had a computer room. Okay.
Yeah,
it was a room for the computer stuff. And it looked like, the early episodes of Star Trek.
Yeah.
And it wasn't available to everyone and any business. And, thank God for people like Steve Jobs who said, there's got to be a personal computer on everyone's desk and eventually in their hand. What I find fascinating, if you could just kind of maybe round this out before we wrap up, is it seems that this is leveling the playing field, that there was a time when only big businesses with big budgets, and I think we talked about this before the program, were able to access and utilize this technology. And now what I'm hearing you talk about is small business. And by the way, I'm a Main Street guy, not a Wall Street guy. That's what I do. Franchising, you can talk about, McDonald's having 35,000 units or whatever, but at the end of the day, the one person that owns the one McDonald's in your neighborhood, he's a small business person. So talk to me a little bit more about the true advantages to a small business, that what Ularity is offering people, how your platform, how your service really can catapult and level the playing field for a small business person.
I mean, that's why we created the company. It's a great question. Small companies have been disadvantaged for years in being outmarketed and outspent by their competitors. You know, the franchising is great because if you are that McDonald's on Park Avenue in Manhattan, but you are a McDonald's franchisee, the McDonald's franchisor is going to look for the best of breed marketing solutions to offer you on Park Avenue. So a franchisor would license our software, basically put in all their assets, you know, ad creative, et cetera, create everything on our platform. And that franchisee can basically open up their app, download it, have all of their menu there, all of their ad creative, pick their budget, because franchisees, as you know, Gary, have to spend a certain percent of their profits on marketing. So they're required to do marketing anyway. But they don't really have the sophisticated tools. They primarily use traditional agencies, or they have to figure out themselves, and they wind up maybe doing like outdoor street signs and things like that, or billboards. But all of a sudden, if they can download technology in their hand that corporate has already set up, and all they have to do is put in a budget on their credit card, and they can do that today because they know they're using Netflix or Zoom, there you go, problem solved. And you know, if you're a non-franchise business, it's much harder. Because if you're a non-franchise business and you're a mom and pop down the street, you know, you're necessarily not going to get access to, you know, companies that are going to sell to you, right? Unless they have, you know, unless it's a massive company and maybe the technology is not designed for the small business. But as a franchisor or a franchisee, you have access to your franchisor's budget, their lens. And so you have the ability to outsmart your competitor who may not be a franchise business down the street, because your franchisor is going to be looking after you to bring to you the best of marketing technology that you can put in your hand.
Yeah, I love it. I as a franchisor, and I'm more on the franchisor side than the franchisee side. And I don't mean that in terms of taking sides and side of the table. One of the biggest challenges franchisors have is their concern, and most franchisors, by the way, don't allow franchisees to use digital assets, but because of control. But what you're saying is the franchisor can load up a gallery of approved artwork, approved content. The franchisee can pick and choose. I guess they can customize it a little bit with maybe their address, phone number, website, whatever it is. And they're off to the races. So they feel, the franchisee feels, hey, I'm in control. I'm running my business. And the franchisor doesn't have to worry about, oh, what are they creating and putting out? You know, what are they putting out on into the world that represents my brand?
Well, it's interesting, Gary, because technology enables two-way communication through software. So what's pretty interesting is there's definitely a difference between large franchisors, medium-sized, and small.
Yes.
So if you're a franchisor, let's say you're under 100 units, you may let your franchisee customize their creative. As long as they're using your logo and your copy, you're okay with that. And so a franchisee can go in and change it whenever they want. And when they change it, it actually goes to the franchisor for approval. They touch a button and it goes live.
I
so
love it.
It is locked it. In. But if you're a franchisor and you've got 1,000+ locations, you're not going to let your franchisee touch the creative, but you will allow them to pick which ones they want right through their phone. Right. So it, you know, technology has to be able to be, I would say, flexible enough that it supports both types of models. Franchisors that want to give complete control with some uniformity built in and have approval rights for the franchisee or the franchisor under 100 units. But for the larger franchisors, they just want their franchisees to be nimble and be able to be competitive against another one next door. And this allows them to do that. So there's kind of, we see differences between the size of the size of the Zor.
And I can see that. And if you have 1,000 or 2,000 units, you don't want to have 10 people dedicated to simply reading and approving content changes from franchisees. I get it. So just to kind of, you know, wrap up here, and by the way, I will probably be the first person to contact you after this program. but just to wrap up, you know, any last thought on the topic that you'd like to give? And then if people want to reach either you or your company, how do they do that? And we will also post websites and contact information in the text of the podcast.
Okay, great. I guess the contact information, you can always reach out to adam@ulerity.com, E-U-L-E-R-I-T-Y.com. If you're looking to get started with us, you can always reach out to sales@ulerity.com, sales@ulerity.com. You can go to our website, ulerity.com, and learn more about what we do and see some great case studies from small businesses and large businesses right on our website. In terms of just what was the you know, we've talked about a lot of different topics, Gary. So which is the one you want me to close on?
Well, I like just the, to, if you could just maybe round out how small businesses are actually or could utilize this and increase their frequency of visit, people coming in, and do it at a lower cost perhaps, but a more efficient way. Just maybe a little bit more color on that to close this out.
So from a marketing perspective, one of the things we see a lot in small businesses is they decide to go all in on one consumer place, like Facebook or Instagram. Yeah. Or paid search, and that's it. That's kind of equivalent to you just running ads on NBC or ESPN.com, that's it, even though these other platforms I mentioned are much larger. And that's really because of time, energy, money, resources, et cetera. They're like, I only have time, I really focus on this one platform, I'm gonna learn that. And these platforms are fantastic, but they're not the only place. So what we tell small businesses is you got to do omni-channel marketing, which is be everywhere your customer is. If you're targeting within 5 miles, go everywhere on the internet. Go on search, social, display, video, every site, every channel, through search, through YouTube, everything. And let today's technology decide where the budget is being spent most efficiently based on what your key performance indicator is. If your key performance indicator is delivery sales through your online website, whatever channel and creative is getting the most ROI, spend more money there and let a algorithm do that. You don't have time to figure out, you know, what creative and what site is working the best. That's what technology is for. Use your skills to understand what's the best creative strategy or what's the best brand strategy, but let the pipes and the piping figure all that stuff out. So I would say for small businesses, go omni-channel, which means go on all marketing platforms at the same time, because it gives you the most reach. It gives you the most competitive advantage. You're not just stuck in sort of one place all day. And you have the ability to learn what's working, what's not. And technology today gives you the ability to be real time. So you can see how your marketing budget is working today and let them, that let some of the automation today change it for the next day. Versus trying and run your business, which is more important than figuring out all the speeds and feeds that technology can do for you.
Absolutely terrific. The takeaway, and you mentioned it, you used the term twice, which I'm glad, because the takeaway for me in that segment was omni-channel advertising marketing. I think that's brilliant, because if you try to do this on your own, first of all, you may not know all the channels, but just spending the time trying to get it all done can just, you know, it eats up so much time that a lot of people just give up. Just absolutely terrific. Our guest today has been Adam Chandler, who is the COO and co-founder of Ulerity. Please reach out to them. I think if you're running a small business, they can be incredibly helpful with omni-channel marketing. And Adam, thank you so much for being with us today. I truly, truly appreciate your time.
It's great to be here, Gary, and learn more about what you and Franchise Growth Solutions are doing. So this is hopefully a good start to getting to know you and what you do. Also,
absolutely.
Thank you for listening.
Yeah. Hope to see you soon.
All right.